Welcome to session 374 of the 2019 Sunstone Symposium. On behalf of Sunstone, we want to thank you for attending and for attending this particular closing evening session on Saturday. Following this session, there will be an epic Mormon potluck in the park just east of the venue, which is 5 minutes away. Also be a comedy show, a kickball game between Mormon foundation, Mormon fundamentalists and ex-Mormons. If you're a gambling person, go put your money where you want it to. Tickets are $10 as a donation to Sunstone and available for purchase at the registration desk. We would love to have you all join us. Look at your printed program for instructions in the park. This session is being recorded and you will be able to purchase it after the presentation ends at the registration desk on the main floor. Please silence your cell phone and remain respectful. As you leave tonight, we want to thank you for coming and being part of the Sunstone Symposium. You have now participated in a tradition of Mormon history that is over 40 years old. The restoration tradition can be what we make it, and your participation helps make Mormonism a little more diverse, interesting, and inclusive. Please support Sunstone by making a donation, subscribing to the Sunstone and podcasts, and by attending our regional conferences. Our next conference will be in London in September. There's nothing like traveling in the world with your favorite Sunstone friends, so please join us. Sunstone cannot exist without you and without your financial support. We want to keep this community growing into a healthy, vibrant way to engage Mormonism. Thank you for being part of that. This session is 90 minutes long, and we ask both audience and presenters to keep within the framework so that folks can get out and to dinner on time and to the kickball game. About this presentation, Jesus taught in parables so people at different levels of spiritual openness and preparation could expand their vision from where Christ found them to where he called them to move. We do not go lockstep into heaven. Rather, each of us goes according to the light and love we choose to live by. This session emphasizes the democracy of salvation, suggesting that we all have the choice of evolving to higher states of consciousness and intelligence. It also presents ways of seeing oneself and others where they are and focuses on individual and organizational evolution. Gloria Gardner-Reese has studied with both John Kestner and Thomas McConkie in the IPP Institute, Lower Lights and the Pacific Integrals, Generating Transformative Change. She's also taught in China, India, and Nepal, plus traveled in the Philippines, Spain, and Madagascar, which have fed her awareness of seeing others where they are. She is the mother of six. John Kestner is an attorney, community facilitator, consultant, and lecturer. He's founder and president of the Salt Lake Civil Network and sponsor of Unify, Y-O-U-N-I-F-Y. John has also developed an awareness practice called Integral Polarity Practice, or IPP, and the IPP Institute. Thomas McConkie is an author, public speaker, and mindfulness teacher. He is the founder of Lower Lights School of Wisdom, where he teaches developmental psychology and meditative practice, which he has studied for more than 20 years. He is the creator of the podcast Mindfulness Plus and has been featured on NPR, Religion News Service, Tricycle, and the 10% Happier podcast. Now for the presentation, but first, a commercial on behalf of the Bountiful Children's Foundation. Bountiful Children's Foundation, a group of Latter-day Saints who are working in over 200 congregations in 20 countries to feed Latter-day Saint and other malnourished children. We encourage you to go on our website, bountifulchildren.org, or to support our work at the booth, which is outside. Thank you very much, and now to the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. This is some of the most transformative music I've ever heard. Arvo Part from Estonia. So the image we have there on the screen is the chambered nautilus. And Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. has written a poem that's quite well known. This is the fifth stanza and final stanza. Build thee more stately mansions, O my soul. As the swift seasons roll, leave thy low vaulted past. Let each new temple, nobler than the last, shut thee from heaven with a dome more vast, till thou at length art free, leaving thine outgrown shell by life's unresting sea. I'd like you to just get an experience of expansion by taking a deep breath in and then hold it there. And let's do maybe three of those. Release. Another one. And release. And this last one, I'd like you to hold it. Now, as you're holding it, I'm not going to try and breathe a little more. See if you can. And then release. Now do it again and be purposeful about getting your lungs completely full. And wait a few seconds and see if you can still breathe in more afterwards. And that's what happens in a chambered nautilus, not the breathing. But there is an expansion from that very center little spot where the organism begins and finally outgrows that shell and goes out as a different creature into the ocean. So while I set up my document, I'd like you to just be floating in that ocean as though this were you. The Nautilus builds chamber by chamber in an ancient pattern sacred geometry, now called the Fibonacci sequence of growth, a perfect balance and harmony where each new number is the sum of the previous two on into infinity. Spirals naturally conform to this numeric sequence. We also see this mathematical sequence in flowers and ferns and pine cones and waves and in movement throughout the universe. And like the Nautilus, we too are building rooms of harmonic proportion with possibilities that continue into infinity, with development that unfolds in predictably sequential stages. The nature of chambers is to hold and to protect. So babies need structure, as do children, though increasingly less fixed. And we need each, let's see. And we need each other in order to evolve ourselves from grace to grace as did Christ and as he taught us. So this is a metaphor of evolution within ourselves and in our community and in the connection to all living things or all inanimate, all things and beyond things that immaterial stage when we have left our shell and we feel that connection. So we evolve from grace to grace according to our willingness to take up our crosses in humility. Chambers hold a safe space for us to dig deep as we surrender to do what we do to what we do not understand. And surrendering lets us die to our earthly attachments in ways large and small. That sense of dying can even come about through traumatizing events, and often does for people with tragedy. But if we put trust in what is raw and real within us, that very witnessing can help us know how to proceed. The deeper the sorrow, the more possibility for grace, beauty, and joy. And it may take more time than we want, but the light and love we choose propel us as we are ready. Jesus, preparing his disciples for his death, said, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now." Jesus also told his followers, "In my Father's house are many mansions." We must take care to not become trapped in any single chamber as we evolve. If we're trapped, we're not evolving. But as we go through this process, because we have a tendency then to take it for the whole of reality. By so doing, we create a false certainty, a fundamentalist view that offends the spirit of Christ within us. We then become oblivious to why others inhabit the chambers we have left, or skeptical of people in higher chambers or stages who seem out of touch with reality because it is not our reality. To some extent, throughout this journey, we also have trouble imagining the magnitude of gifts that lie both around and directly ahead. Looking within, seeing ourselves where we are, and others where they are, we receive awareness as it dawns within us. In being open to the light, we will know how to proceed. Within each chamber is an inner heaven where we can be alone with the alone. In Ibn Arabi's words, where our creative imagination is ignited by the light of Christ. And as we awaken to higher truths, we shed the former confinement like outworn clothing, and yet able to honor who we have become, entering with renewed awareness to the next chamber, and its possibilities and protections. We can be quite disconsolate as we transcend an old world view, experiencing this change out of our previous comfort to a time of discomfort and darkness, or perhaps even of failure, relapse, or woundedness. But such dark ground, like rich soil, is fertile, and the messy conditions ready us for growth that will eventually force us from this new way of being to dissolve and change again. Rejoice here in this darkness, for you are being prepared for the paradoxical, a fresh consciousness that offers spiritual wisdom. Recognizing the vastness of godly consciousness allows us to be more aware of connection and communion and compassion within and between all chambers, which brings love and engagement beyond our understanding. Look inward, trusting possibility. Let it feed your creative imagination as ignited by the light of Christ. In our Latter-day Saint religious community, we have hope of both personal revelation and personal evolution. Over a century ago, B.H. Roberts stated, "Not half, not one hundredth part, not a thousandth part of that which Joseph Smith revealed to the church has yet been unfolded, either to the church or to the world. There is enough in that for institutions, communities, and individuals to evolve until in unity with all creation."
Thank you, Gloria. That was beautiful. It's worth applause. I'm grateful to have this opportunity to share in this beautiful theme of emergent growth. The nature of the universe, that we can grow into our divinity step by step, grace for grace. I think the metaphor of the Nautilus is just so beautiful, because it reflects universal patterns of how we grow. And I thought I'd take just a particular approach to this theme that's a little bit paradoxical, in the sense that how we might continue to grow individually and collectively in the church and in our lives calls us to return to the very foundations of our belief, our faith, which is represented in actual experience of the divine, and having faith in that and having a relationship with our Father in heaven. And just as the life force or the spirit of Christ is in that Nautilus and in all things, it's the connection we have to be able to grow. And it was at the very beginning, the very seed of our restored gospel. And it is what enables us to continue to grow. And what I'd like to do is just share three experiences with you, three prayers, meditations that have become kind of the foundation of my spiritual life, really, as I've tried to seek, how do I cultivate the experience of the divine, a real experience with my Father in heaven. So I have three ways to approach this. One is in the third person, the second person, and the first person. The third person is having trust in God in a way that's just not a matter of belief or something I want to have, you know, but a deep, authentic experience of a transcendent trust. I've, in teachings I've experienced and received and the experiences that I've had, have taught me that a wonderful tool for opening a door, not only for myself but for a group, is a technique called voice dialogue. It's a Jungian therapeutic technique where you can talk to aspects of the self. But in the training I received in the Zen tradition through a new lineage called the Big Mind Process, this teacher discovered that you can access transcendent aspects of the self, transcendent aspects of God and reality through this voice dialogue. So I'd like to, just for this third person experience of trust, transcendent trust, I'd like to do that with you for those of you who would choose to participate with me, and the rest of you who might just want to observe or watch, that's just fine. But the point is this is a quality that's there. We just need to be open to it. And so what I do is I'll say to all of you, I'd like to speak to the voice of transcendent trust. And then I'll say, who am I speaking to? And you say back to me, transcendent trust. Then we'll have a little conversation about what that feels like. So I'd like to speak to transcendent trust, please. Who am I speaking to? Okay. So just a raise of hand, I'll call on you by raise of hand, and I'm speaking as transcendent trust to you as transcendent trust. What does this feel like, this transcendent trust? How do you feel right now as transcendent trust? Yes.
Expanding.
Expanding, okay. Do you feel any limits at all? Okay, still expanding. Haven't even gotten to the point where you even think about limits. Yes?
Light.
This is a place of light. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else like to? Yes?
Connection.
Say that again.
Connection.
Connection, yeah. Connection with what?
With you and each other.
Yeah. Yeah, connection with all things, with something bigger. Okay, life is inherently worth living from this place of transcendent trust. Do you have any fear in this place?
I'm aware of fear. Fear informs me, but I trust that quality as well.
Okay.
Repeat that.
You're aware of fear, but it informs you rather than making you shrink, that's a part of life. Yeah. Yeah. So let's just close our eyes for a moment and just settle into this place of transcendent trust, where we spend our whole lives having fear of things that are other than us, different than us. This place grounds us. Gives us a sense of transcendent hope. Hope not in the everyday sense, but hopefulness that whatever happens, will it be okay? I'll face the rawness and reality of it, as Gloria mentioned, but it's okay, because I trust deeply and absolutely. As I experience transcendent trust and transcendent hope, I experience transcendent love. It flows through me from that place of trust, from that source, from God. Thank you. Now experiencing the Father in the second person. I try to think of somebody that I love or a situation where there's somebody that I care about, a member of my family, somebody I care about, somebody I'm willing to hug, somebody I'm willing to, just without restraint, say, I love you. I love you with all my heart. And when we're asked to love God with all of our heart, all of our might, mind, and strength, do we have the courage to do that? I'd just like to close our eyes for a moment. Let's each one of us reach out to God with all of our love, with everything that we've got. And we each have our human limits in terms of how far we can go, what we can do, how deeply we can love. But as we do that, through his grace, we can feel his love embrace us, hold us, enable us to be a channel for love that is greater than we are, that is from him, that is universal, that is unqualified, that we can be his agent. That we can be willing to be open to all sorrow and suffering without limit. Because of his grace, we can do that. And through that, experience the greatest joy, knowing that the man of sorrows was also a man of great joy, and that we also might be that through his gift. I'd like to go to the experience of God our Father in the first person. That we might be one in him and one in the Savior as they are one in us. And I think the great powerful vehicle that has been given us is repentance. The gospel of repentance. If we will, in the moment, have the courage to die to who we are, to be open to what we could become, to be open to what we actually are, an element of the divine, a spirit of a divine spirit, we not only have a better start, but my experience is they can actually experience that moment of perfection. Maybe a half second later, I come back to who I am with all my flaws or shortcomings or things to work on. But in that moment, when I truly repent, truly put my ego aside, my sense of self aside, I can be what the Savior called me to be, and that's perfect. Not because of any personal qualities I have, but of the divine qualities I have, which can emanate through my personhood. I'd like to speak to the voice of divine perfection, please. Who am I speaking to? As this voice of protection, of perfection. Tell me a little bit how this feels like. What does it feel like, this perfection?
For me, it feels like a first chamber in the novice. That perfection is a promise.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I think everybody could hear that. It was the promise and the hope of the perfection that's at the seed of the Nautilus.
It's for the recording.
Does anybody feel the fullness of perfection in this moment? Yes.
Secure.
So blessed and without any weight.
So blessed and without any weight. So let's just go to this place together. This place of having the courage to move oneself aside, to be open to the divine, to be one with the divine, one with the Father, one with the Son. And in this moment, experience perfection. There's no separation. There's no qualification. And in this moment, even as just for a moment, it's transformative. It whispers to me the promise of who I might be, because I am that right now. And if I'm open enough, willing to experience that, to let go of my old self and be open to who I really am, it's beyond description. And by living the gospel of repentance, it's the energetic spiritual element that moves me from chamber to chamber, being willing to die again and again, touching into the perfection, which draws me to the next chamber and the next, to the endless progression and oneness with all that is godly and divine. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. I really love you two. I love these two people. As we're talking about development and faith journey and this endless process of becoming, I've really come to know Gloria and John as two beings who just continue to unfold. And I really admire your elderhood, really the power and wisdom you've both grown into, and I just feel that in the room and wanted to presence that. Thank you. My name's Thomas. Hi, everybody. Hey, thank you. I want to just notice what's present for all of us right now, and notice that when I say present for all of us, it's now a collective inquiry. So up till now, Gloria led us through a beautiful poetic process and kind of inner exploration of what development might look like and feel like. And John took us through a voice dialogue process to help us kind of attune to these different rarefied heights and depths of spirit. I want to kind of congregate a little bit. And what I mean by congregate, can we silence that? Thank you. What I mean by congregate is shift from an individual perspective of transformation to a collective perspective. Something that's really moving to me about Latter-day Saint theology, formerly known as Mormon theology, is that we actually can't be saved alone. We're saved together. And Paul presaged this in the New Testament when he talked about the body of Christ and that we're all members of the body of Christ. And implicitly, it means that like until we've actually incorporated as a mystical body, nothing much is going to happen. And if I were to wax Buddhist, which, you know, if you've hung out with me before, you know, it's like just 10 seconds before I wax Buddhist. But it's really, it's the Sangha. It's the collective we practice in that elevates our individual practice. So I want to just play with this for a minute and, you know, let us do some work together as a congregation, as a collective, even as a Sangha. So the first thing, I'm just going to shake things up a little bit. First of all, you know, notice this awful room with chairs that are like forcing you to stare at the back of someone's head and just, you know, forcibly separating you from your collective, from your own body. So we're going to do something about that. But before we, you know, incorporate as one body, we're going to come back to our own body. Because something we notice as we're developing, as we're growing up, as we're waking up, we notice that the body loves to be noticed. So I want you to just take a moment to notice your body. And I have a little trick. This is like a really popular party favor. I do this at most places I go if they let me. So I call it a hand bath. It's kind of provocative. But you can do this sitting or standing. But I want you to just take a moment and just feel your body. Like feel the weight of your touch on your body. You can use both hands. And, you know, like you were lathering with soap. Like don't miss a spot. And just keep doing this for a moment, and I'll just describe that one effect of this practice is it starts to flood your nervous system with sensory input. Because as adults, we spend so much of our time thinking about what we're experiencing. And to just like take a quick hand bath, it floods your nervous system with sensorial information. It grounds you, it incarnates you. So why don't you just do this for a moment? Take, you know, another 60 seconds and, you know, do it up, really enjoy it. You have a body, and your body is a temple, and it's amazing, and it's holy. And let's notice it. If you're sitting next to somebody you're comfortable with, whether you know them or not, you can like have them help you get that hard-to-reach spot between the shoulder blades. So we're starting to connect. Yeah, right? Yeah, we can't do it on our own. Yeah. All right. Beautiful. So just shout out, like, how do you feel just after a moment of just like, noticing the body, remembering. Just shout it out. What do you feel? Ease. Did you say ease? Eased. Yeah, eased. Ooh, I feel eased now just hearing that word. Relaxed. Like a baby when you were held and caressed. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Cared for. Yeah, we are cared for. Absolutely. So good, this is just kind of priming the pump a little bit. Next, I want you to, like, this is the last session of the day, I think, just make a little bit of a mess of the room and find yourself in a circle of 5 or 6 people. Try to not get crazy with, like, a group of 15, you'll see why in a moment, but just, you know, 5 or 6 or so, just circle up. And that's a great group. Boom, yeah, cool. Bring it in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Cool, we'll break you guys out into a new group. Settle in. Oh, no worries, no worries. These guys could use an extra one. That group's too big. Yeah, you need one more group out of those. Before you fall in love with each other, I need to break you guys up. That was wildly successful, if I do say so myself. I've lost complete control of workshops doing just this, so we're right on schedule. Okay, so just notice for a minute, like we just moved the seats. That, you know, they're like, in our minds, they're like pews. They're bolted to the floor. They can't be moved. They're perfectly straight. You don't move the chair. We just move the chairs. And notice what that does. Notice what it does to be seated in this formation now. Just like notice who you're sitting with. Right? You can make eye contact or avoid contact at all costs, depending on how you're feeling. Notice, stay in your body, though, because the reason we took a little hand bath before this is to help you, like, really be present in your body. Just notice, like, are you feeling social anxiety right now? Are you wanting to, like, kind of protect a little bit and, you know, pull back? That's a really normal thing. Another normal thing is some curiosity, like, what's going to happen? Like, kind of some anticipation of where are we going next? Do you notice that in your body? Just notice what you notice, like what comes up when you're actually having an encounter, right? When you encounter another human being or beings, when you become a collective. So the next thing I'm going to have you do is actually tighten your circle up. And here's the key phrase here. Sit as closely together as you can tolerate. that means different things for different people. Yeah. Provocative, right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you know what? Why don't you get each other's names while you're at it? Say hello. These bells mean we're going to do something else. We're going to move on. So I want to just, you know, kind of point a few things out that are already happening, but maybe we're not noticing them. Like John pointed to with trust. You know, trust is a quality that's here, but maybe we're not as open to it as we could be, right? So I'm just going to talk you through this for a moment. The first thing I want you to notice, if I can just get your attention, I want you to just notice like the physical formation of your circle. Like notice your orientation in space to your group, right? We went from sitting in rows, a rather impersonal way to congregate, to like these really, maybe even uncomfortably tight circles. So just notice the physical formation that you're sitting in. She's really going for it over here. You should see this. So notice the physical formation. And next, I want you to kind of like sweep your eyes around your circle and start to notice posture. Like how are people sitting right now? And we're going to, sorry, this was all important. We're going to do this next few minutes just in silence because I want you to just like really take it into your awareness. And then I'll give you time to just talk freestyle. You'll have plenty of time. But for now, I want you to just notice like posture. Like how are people sitting and what does that tell you intuitively about how they're doing, who they are, how they're feeling. Yeah. So just look around, and I'll really ask you to keep silence here. It's really tempting to like chat. Sometimes that can be nervous energy just trying to dissipate. Notice how people are breathing. Yeah, rise and fall of their shoulders, their chest, their belly, if they're breathing deeply. And if it's okay, you can opt out of this. You're pretty close to the door. You're welcome if it just gets to be too much. Or you can just like hang out with a notepad on the side and watch. So it's, you know, it's by consent only. But if you're willing, I want you to just stay with this and now actually start to look at people's faces. It's not like a gazing exercise. You don't have to stare them down. But like really just take in their countenance. You know, the light in their eyes, their smile maybe, their facial expression. just like really take it in, like let yourself become really saturated. This is like the hand bath, except now you're in the collective body. You're just taking in these different aspects of yourself. There's something very familiar, actually. Even with a perfect stranger, you are in their presence and there's something that you recognize in them. There's something so relatable. Yeah, just feel that. So there's so much by the way we wear our hair. What colors we decided to throw on this morning when we walked out the door. How we're sitting, how we're breathing, all of this stuff. It's all this information right here in the body, in the collective. And I want you to just shift your awareness to a little more of a subtle level and just feel your heart. You can put your hand on your heart if that helps, but just bring your awareness to your heart and notice like what's going on in there. Notice what you're feeling. And if you can, just allow yourself to breathe, relax. The more you relax, the more sensitive you tend to be. The more you can feel when we're not contracting. There's interesting research from the HeartMath Institute that says that we can measure electromagnetic energy several feet out from the physical body in every direction. And the powerhouse of this electromagnetic energy is the human heart. So just notice as you're sitting in this circle that your heart is just radiating out love and influence, information, intelligence. And you're also just soaking in this field, receiving influence from others' hearts in this circle. So just feel what that's like when you open up your awareness to this reality. Maybe things shift for you. Maybe it deepens. Maybe it doesn't. And I want you to notice now that you're noticing this at all. Notice that you're aware. Notice that you're having an experience in a human body, in a human collective. You're aware of it all. So what is it that's aware? Who is aware? I don't want you to answer that in your mind. That's a total tingle. But just appreciate that you're awake in this moment. You're aware. This awareness, we could say, it sees through your eyes and it hears through your ears. It feels through your skin, through your heart. We could call this light, intelligence, consciousness. But we're so sensitive. We're just so naturally awake. The body is so naturally awake. And as you deepen this awareness, I want you to just notice the other bodies, minds, hearts surrounding you. And just kind of hold a question, is it the same awareness that's seeing through their eyes, hearing through their ears, feeling through their hearts? Or is it something totally different, something totally other? Just feel. When I really drop into this quality of awareness, I often have this sense like the very same awareness that is speaking these words is hearing through other ears. Just notice that intimacy, how close you actually are, how one you are. So the eyes and the sense organs of the body, they see these distinct shapes. But when we look through those shapes, we're just immersed in this sea of unity. And yet, in this unity, there's multiplicity because we're still our own being. We still have our own heart's desire and hopes in this world and our unique gifts that we bring to the world. So even as you're in this sea of intelligence and light and unity, appreciate that there is such uniqueness in your own being that you bring as a gift to this collective. See if you can get a flavor of that. See if you can feel that. And as you bring your unique self to this body. Last thing I want you to do is like really sense into the feeling of your collective. Have you ever sat with these exact human beings anywhere on the planet, just like this? Right? It's such a unique formation. It's got its own signature, its own identity. It's the collective identity. So just appreciate this for however long this lasts, just the blink of an eye, a flash in the pan. Just appreciate that together you come together and you form this identity together. And in this space of connection, of intimacy, of union, now that we've kind of done the groundwork, I want to open up your mini congregations to just a heartful conversation about growth. Here's what I mean. I'll give you some time to just hang out and enjoy each other, maybe 10 minutes or so. And the topic, you can go wherever the intelligence of your collective body takes you, but just as a prompt, just as a suggestion, I want you to maybe talk about like the most exciting quality of growth in your life right now. Because isn't growth always enticing? We're always at the edge of our known world and our known self, and we're transcending ourselves and reaching into the unknown. And there's something that's really exhilarating about that. My sense is that's the very heart of Christ, to transcend ourselves. So if I were to kind of, you know, model that, I'd say, you know, right now in my life, I've noticed that when I sit really still, and I love to like wake up early and just sit still for a little bit before I start my day, and I notice that if I really relax, my heart really softens. And before long, it's like my heart, this physical heart, is like an antenna, just tuning into the radio station of love. And the signal, when I search for it in my awareness through my heart, it feels like that signal just goes on forever in every direction, beyond time and through time, past, present, future. I've just noticed this quality in my life when I sit still that I'm just like stunned by, that there could be this much love. So that's something that like really is alive and on fire in me right now. And I really appreciate the space we're holding that allows me to really express that from my heart. So now it's your turn. Every one of you is a unique self with incredible growth and waking up and growing up and discipleship and all these other ways we talk about it. So I want to just open it up for you guys to just like really encounter each other and see what comes up in your space. I'll give you about 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Just a quick announcement. It's been 3 minutes. Just make sure you're sharing the time with everybody so maybe you get to hear from each voice. Just be mindful of that. Last facilitator comment. I'm going to give you a few more minutes, so keep doing what you're doing. But with the last few minutes, I just want to encourage you, if you're willing, to reveal yourself to your group. even more. What does that mean to you? If you revealed yourself even more and like took a risk, some would call it being vulnerable. And maybe you sense in your group there's something that's wanting to happen even. What would that be? All right, back to it. I'll give you a few more minutes. Take 2 more minutes. 2 minutes. Start to wind down, start to come back to silence as it's natural. You can finish up what you're saying, but I'm going to invite you to just start to finish up here. And as you come to silence, I want you to like let the silence be a really full silence, like really just feel the fullness of presence in your group, in your congregation, in your body. And just take a couple breaths, like really take it in, like this banquet you've just had, this feast of presence and heartfulness and sharing, and maybe like some discomfort and nervousness and anxiety, like all of it. Can you just breathe it in and relax and trust that this experience is for your good? Yeah, just feel the after effect, what impression this gathering, this encounter leaves on you? What flavor is in the body, in the heart, in the mind? And then take a moment to just offer some gratitude to your group for making this possible, for sharing what they did, for their presence. I can get your attention. So we have 20 minutes left, and this 20 minutes is like for all of us. It's just to really hear from each other. If you're willing, if it's not too inconvenient, I'd love to just like bring everybody up front. So yeah, if you're up here already, you can just kind of stay here, but we can just gather. It doesn't have to be a circle, just huddle, you know, just tighten up so we're not all sprawled out across the place. Yeah, go ahead and just like grab your stuff and scoot up. Yeah, and like come way up if you would, like way up. Come as close as you can tolerate. Yeah, you can move it. Yeah, that's the spirit, just like that. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, perfect. No, it's all, yeah. Yeah, there's like no front of the room. It's just like where we gather, where we huddle is where the action will be happening. So if I can just invite you to like pack it in. Yeah. Keep coming in. Keep. I would come to you, but the core. I'm tethered here. I can only go so far. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so just come be a part of the mystical body of Sunstone. Yeah, awesome. So, and I think the mic reaches you if people have questions for Gloria and John. But I just want to say, first, thank you so much for just being willing to do that, just being willing to be present together. Do you notice like how you're feeling in your body and how it feels in the room now? Yeah, things shift, right? We have a lot of time to hear like from people's experiences, but I just want to say a few things. So I do this kind of work all the time, a lot of like collective practices like this, based on principles of developmental psychology, like what kinds of experiences will put just the right amount of pressure on us to like take a leap and do something new that we're capable of doing, that we actually even want to do, but maybe we haven't had the invitation before and we didn't realize, oh, I can move that chair and like look that person up and down and then like relax my heart and be vulnerable. You know, like sometimes it just takes a little invitation. My sense is, like, I'm a pseudo-millennial. I was born, like, halfway into the year 1980. So, like, I'm so old to the millennials, they're just like, you're not a millennial. But I'm like, come on, I'm not Gen X either. Give me a break. So, but I want to say, like, about, like, the millennial and upcoming generations, that if we don't reimagine the ways we gather and the ways we encounter each other, and the ways we connect to holiness and higher meaning together, what we've known as religious tradition and institution will just continue to empty out. People are leaving in droves, and I don't sense they're leaving because like Christ isn't interesting anymore. At least my sense is that, you know, I know a lot of people who like they want to talk about Christ. They want to talk about the Buddha. and they want to talk about higher consciousness and awakening, and what does it mean to fall in love with the world and serve it your whole life. So the principles are there, but like if we sit people like in rows staring at the back of other people's heads, and we just feed you ideas for hours at a time and take you out of your body and disconnect you from the rest of the mystical body, how nourishing is that going to be? Right? And so, you know, I just marvel. I've done this so many hundreds of times with so many different groups over the years. And every time it's different, and every time it's alive, and it's intelligent, it's like the collective has a will of its own, and something that moves through all of us knows how to wake up, and it knows how to grow. And in Rumi's words, we know how to kneel down and kiss the ground. We know holiness when it's present. We just respond to it. And we have different words for it. Not everyone uses the word holiness. Not everyone uses the word God. But, you know, did our hearts not burn within us? Right? So that's what I wanted to share. This is my expression of kind of riffing on the same theme that Gloria and John presented, you know, so masterfully in their own unique way. So I just wanted to bring the collective body into the practice and then hear from the collective at this point. I'll try to reach you with a mic, but like anything that moved in you, anything you're feeling, anything coming up, like it's the time to just like be close to each other. In back, please.
The first part we were kind of supposed to be quiet and everything. It was driving me crazy. I wanted to know more about them. I couldn't look at them. In fact, I couldn't think about being quiet or shut my brain off because I just wanted to know about them. I just had a feeling, what good kids. And I mean, I was an old guy with these young people. I just wanted to know more about them.
Thank you. I hope you got a chance to know a little bit more about them through the exercise. Thank you. Yeah, here.
One of the things I felt made me think about Heather's presentation yesterday, where you talked about how our actual bodies change size, right, depending on how we're expressing ourselves, and that when you come into a group where we're all kind of individuals, we're a little contracted, we're small, our actual bodies may actually be smaller than our physical bodies, right? We've pulled in for fear. And then when we go through an exercise like this where we begin to talk and all those fears, we fill the room with who we are. And it changes the energy, probably at an atomic level. Something's changed and it's different because we're so much bigger than we were.
Just to expand on that, you spoke briefly about the HeartMath Institute, and I love how we can all come to a knowing of the same thing using different understandings and languages, and there's a lot of that for me today in my own learning. And the electromagnetic field of the human body is real. It's as real as the electromagnetic field around the planet, and it is powered by the heart. And it does expand 3 feet out from you. And when you do sit in a meditation like this, we do collectively expand to fill the room on a real atomic, subatomic particle level.
Preach.
So thank you for allowing us to feel that.
Maxine, right behind you.
I just am so grateful for the way that you, Thomas, and Gloria, and John, and Bob. Where's Bob? The way that you each facilitate us at the end of this big conference where we're all in our heads, and we're all in our separate egos, and we're all like wondering if we're good enough or smart enough, or how our presentation went, or how we compare to the next person. And we come into this space at the end and drop all of that and see the God in each other and let go of all of our walls, all of our judgments, all of our insecurities, all of our projections, and just love and move into embrace the God and see the God that is alive and expressing itself through each one of us. And thank you so much, all of you. I love you so much. I needed this session. Thank you.
So you're saying you liked my session?
This just reminded me, and my personal experience, but I want to share it with you in case it could be valuable to you, of my leaving Mormonism and finding an environment, a community that is much more comfortable with this kind of exercise. And that's the Unity Movement, and it's not the Unitarians, so don't confuse that. But if you ever get a chance to visit a Unity congregation, have you? To one in Seattle? Awesome. And it's, yeah. Yeah, oh, good. So, yeah, so I would just, you know, I'm not evangelizing here, but or trying to, you know, anyway, trying to convert. But it's something a lot of people haven't been exposed to, and at the very least, I would try, I would suggest that you look up, you know, either in your home community or where you're traveling, and expose to yourself to a Unity service, which is not correlated like the Mormon Church. So it might be different wherever you go. We happen to have a wonderful woman, pagan pastor, but been trained in Unity. So, and you know, so she's all about, well, I don't know how different it is, but it's very much about the divine within and that idea of unity, the wholeness of the universe, I guess, and have the multiplicity of universes. Okay. And we might be related with the McConkies.
You might be related? Oh, great. Let's talk. Let's, who's over? Someone out?
What we've created here is what at HeartMath we call a heart field, an expanded heart field. And if you think of that image up there. One of the things is the five of us six of us sat in that little circle. We realized that in each one of those chambers, Christ is there as he is in our hearts. And as we think about that field that we create starting from an individual and moving, and what is beautiful about that image is that as we will all leave here, feeling what we have here, we have the power to take this field wherever we go and to have other people feel it when they encounter them, and to realize that the top of that image is the infinite expansion and evolution of what we feel here, and ultimately that's why Christ came.
Janice Spangler.
Thanks. So for those of you who know me, you know I spend a lot of time in my own head and in my own individual development. And I'm just so appreciative. When I'm in those spaces of just in my head, I often think, geez, how can I keep doing the church thing? How can I? And I get myself all wrapped up in it, you know, I can't do this. And then I'll find an idea that will inspire me and be like, no, I can do this. But what I noticed being in this group of six and just really feeling into this expression of what is not separate from me, but it is an expression of the divine in each person. And I really appreciated that prompt of the awareness. Is it the same awareness in each person? And it's just a whole different hope of it doesn't matter, can I stay, do I need to go? None of that matters, because wherever I go, this is there if I let it be. And there's just something so expansive about that, that in searching for, is Christ here, is Christ there, where do I feel that? Well, if I let it, it's everywhere. So.
I don't know, I feel so very grateful. Bob suggested I do a session of some sort, and I had never given a session in Sunstone before, and so I didn't know. And he said, well, maybe you could get John and Tom to help you, and these two men are busy, extremely booked. And I approached them, and they were so on board with it. And we you know, just decided to be experiential with it. And I came in here a little blindly, not know. And I mean, in the sense that I didn't have confidence that it was going to go over wonderfully, but I didn't care because I knew this team knew how to pull things together, and that I just, looking in your faces when I began, I knew that this was a group that would open and would absorb and listen and give out and radiate. And I think I'd like to read this poem at the end. If you wanted to say something, John. Do you?
I'll just say briefly, trying to do the meditative prayer that I did in the period of time that I did, using the vocabulary that I did, created a real possibility for maybe not connecting. I've done the same process with a Buddhist group, using different vocabulary, and what I really wanted to say was, I was just trying to share the essence of the spirit from three important dimensions, and I'm just grateful that I could be with you in that regard, and may have connected well with some of you and not so well with others, but I just wanted to contribute to this beautiful moment that Gloria convened us to.
As the voice of divine perfection, I just want to say that this moment is holy forever. And I love you.
I love you.
Yeah.
I don't see very many of you with these. I thought maybe we could read it together, but I'll read it alone if you don't have it. Those who have it, read with me, will you? Let's see.
You do it.
Let's start. I'll read this one, and we'll read the top one together. All right? Oliver Wendell Holmes. Build thee more stately mansions, O my soul, as the swift seasons roll. I'm going to read that again. Build thee more stately mansions, O my soul, as the swift seasons roll. Leave thy low-vaulted past. Let each new temple, nobler than the last, shut thee from heaven with a dome more vast, till thou at length art free, leaving thine outgrown shell by life's unresting sea. And then this is by Kongjiro Nguyen. Everyone? It is not the ocean that you hear in the empty shell of a nautilus. It is the echo of your soul and of each other's.
Thanks, everybody. That's a wrap.